Uprise, OC. Uprise all day. Happy New Year's, my brethren. How are you doing?
Man, I can't complain, bro. It's a new year, brand new year. Let's see. New year, we're in a brand new lockdown, though, so.
It's interesting.
It's rough. It's rough out here, man.
Yeah. I'm sorry I was late to the podcast. I had, online schooling this morning. You know, you got to think on your feet. You have to adjust on the fly. You got to figure it out. And I was highly confused, man. So that's where we are. You don't have to help with online school, do you? You have a capable teenager doing that.
Yeah. Plus, you know, I've tried to like understand what he's being taught in school. And I can't process that information anymore. He's going to one of them advanced schools that I'm looking at it and I'm like, he's 13. I'm supposed to understand what he's being taught at 13, but they are on a completely different level than I was when I was 13.
Do you have to act like you know what you're doing and then just be like, nah, you figure it out?
Yeah, that's what I do. I'm like, listen, TJ, I do know all this stuff, but you as a kid, you're supposed to learn all this stuff yourself. Like, you're supposed to know. That's what I'm paying all this money for you to go to school for, so you can understand this. Meanwhile, inside, I'm like, golly, how is a 13-year-old supposed to know what the meaning of life is? Like, what are you talking about, teacher? Mr. Teacher Man, what are you talking about? It's ridiculous, man.
You know,
that's too advanced. That's too advanced, Jason.
Hey, you know what that reminds me of? Have you ever seen a guy, we're in the meetings, right? And a guy is getting called out by a coach, whether it's the head coach, your coordinator, position coach. And it's like, do you understand this? And the dude is just thinking on the fly, just throwing stuff out there. And you see him just treading water. You're like, he's about to go down.
No clue. He don't have no clue what's going on.
He don't have
incredible.
No clue. Oh, that used to happen to me all the time, man. Obviously, that used to happen to me, man. But that's where we are, my brother. That's where we are. We're also at the NFL playoffs, the beginning.
Yeah.
Wild card weekend.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we call you Playoff OC, because you have all the knowledge. We're going to lean on you for this stretch for all the inside information on what this feels like from a player's perspective, coaching staff, all that. As we dig into this, I'm very interested in all these teams and kind of the implications on what's happening in the locker room and how that impacts the performance on the field. And you got all of that. Any surprises for you? Any surprises?
I think before we get into the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. I think we should discuss something that happened before.
Ooh, talk to me.
The playoffs. And this is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles situation and what happened there in Philly.
Yes.
And you know, I'm not one to ever call, like, because you don't know what somebody's motivation is, right?
Yeah, you don't know what's happening.
You don't know what's happening. You don't know what their motivation is. But I will tell you this. The Philadelphia Eagles went into that game against the Washington football team. And let's just say that it was evident for everybody to see that they did not put their best foot forward.
Okay, right.
And a lot of people were up in arms about that. Obviously, the fact that they didn't do that eliminated the New York Giants from the playoffs. And so a lot of New York people were upset. But not only that, a lot of people around the NFL looked at this as a lack of integrity by the Philadelphia Eagles. They looked at this that everything going on and you decided to just clearly, in front of everybody, just lay down.
Yep.
And they got like a better draft pick. Apparently they went from having the 9th pick to the 6th pick, which, you know, a lot of people are saying this is why they did it.
Right.
But here's the problem with that, Jason.
Okay.
Here's the problem with that. You know, I remember 2007. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Week 17, we're playing against the New England Patriots, right? Okay. Now, week 16, we had played the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, the snow game. We beat mm-hmm. the Buffalo Bills. We clinched the playoffs. We clinched our playoff seed. There was nothing to be gained in week 17 against New England Patriots for us. Like, literally zero. Nothing right. to be gained. And for me, Jason, here's another thing. I didn't want to play in that game, the week 17 game. And I'm going to tell you why. We had already clinched the playoffs, right? Clinched our seeds for the playoffs. We couldn't move up or down. I had been named a Pro Bowler. I had hit all my incentives for that year. The only thing that could happen in that game for me was injury. Right. There was nothing positive could have came for me personally from that game, right? Mm-hmm. So we go into week 17, and I'm thinking to myself, obviously, Coughlin isn't going to – he's not going to risk that to any of his star players. Like, there's nothing to be gained here.
Yeah.
So, Jason.
I see where this is going. Obviously, Coughlin.
We walk in Wednesday to our meeting.
Uh-huh.
Our team meeting Wednesday. Tom Coughlin walks into the meeting room. I'll never forget this for as long as I live. He goes, let me tell you guys something right now.
Ooh.
I'm going to tell you right now because I don't know what you're thinking,
we gonna
but I'm
going to
tell you
up.
Right now. We're going to clear this up right now. We're playing against the New England Patriots, who are undefeated football team.
Uh-huh.
And every last one of you are playing. Let me just tell you that right now. You're all playing. Not only that, not only are y'all playing, you're playing the whole game. Not only that, we are playing to win this game. We want to beat them. This is what he said. We want to beat them. We don't care nothing about their record. Mm-hmm. We don't care anything about our record. Mm-hmm. We don't care. We've clinched the playoffs. We want to beat that football team. That's what we want to do. We're going to play to win. And I'll tell you what this did to me, Jason. Instantly. Everything that I thought before went out my head. Instantly. Went out my head. I was like, you know what? He's right. He's absolutely right. We want to beat that football team. Every time we step on that football field, we play to win. And it's a mentality. Mm-hmm. It's a mentality. It's not about anything other than you knowing as a team, as a culture, whenever you step on that football field, you give it your all and you play to win the game. If you get hurt, you get hurt. If he dies, he dies. Like Ivan Drago said in that Rocky movie, if he dies, he dies. We don't care nothing about that. And we went out there, Jason, a team that literally we had nothing to play for against a team that was going for an undefeated record. And we played them to the wire, Jason. They ended up winning the game 38-35.
I remember, man.
But they won the ropes, J-Bell. You know what that did for us? We said to ourselves, if we play this team again, we're going to beat this team. We didn't know we were going to make it.
Yeah.
But we said to ourselves, if we play this team again, we're going to beat this team. And guess what, Jason? We played them again, and we beat them.
You weren't scared.
No. So it is a culture, it is a mentality, and there is such a thing as the football gods, believe it or not. They exist, and they will pay you back when you give that effort. They will. They always do. And so what's going to happen with the Philadelphia Eagles, Jason,
mm-hmm.
is this might have seemed like a small thing to them,
ooh.
But they are going to pay the price for doing what they did. They're going to pay the price as a culture, as a team, as an organization. They are going to pay the price for laying down like that, man. And their coach is going to pay the price. They'll never recover from it, man. Never.
Okay, so you've opened my eyes on some things that I knew happened, but your perspective is I'm right there with you. That being said, do you think this decision, right? Obviously, they had nothing to play for except pride, Philadelphia. And if they go out there, they keep their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, in, who wasn't playing great, but they're two touchdowns from running. He was making plays.
Yep.
Okay. Conspiracy theorist here. Is that a move that they made because we all know Carson Wentz was their quarterback, he was their franchise, got benched. Is this a play where they said, we can't have Jalen Hurts going out there and being our savior if we want to keep Carson Wentz and keep this relationship tight, because we really have a quarterback controversy on our hands next year, and we as a franchise aren't willing to do that?
Jason, whatever their reasons are, what you said is a legitimate point. It's a legitimate point.
I don't agree with it, by the way, Elsie. I don't agree with it.
Yes, I know. I know. I'm saying that could have been the reason why they did that.
Which is terrible.
Whatever their reason is, the fact is they didn't put their best foot forward.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? No matter what their reason is, mm-hmm. they had an opportunity to play to win the game mm-hmm. and to show their team and to show their whole city what they stand for.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. And this is what's going to come back to haunt them later on. It must.
As a player that is a cornerstone of the franchise like you were, so the next year when you come in, you don't forget that, right? Yeah, well, just as the head coach talks to you, motivates you, speaks to you, whatever he's trying to do, you're like, man, I know your true nature, right?
I know what your nature is. Wow. I know what your nature is. I know what you're about. You know? I know what you're about. Jason, that's unacceptable. I'm telling you, bro. It is flat out unacceptable. And when I think about that particular instance that happened to us that year, when I think about that, and when I think about my mentality going into that game, and then seeing that man come in front of us and say, listen, I don't care what you think. This is what we stand for as a team. This is what we stand for as an organization. And this is what we are going to do. It carries on, man. It lives within you, that type of mentality. And this propelled us. Like, it's a never say die. It's just a never surrender. Under no circumstances are you going to surrender. Nothing. You're going to fight to the very end. And this is how he was as a person, Tom Coughlin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you think about our teams, this is how we were. Like, we were never dead. You understand? Be like, oh, they're done, they're finished. No, they're not. We were never gonna die. You're right. Think about it. I mean, you watched the whole thing, like the New York Giants, whenever you thought they were dead, all of a sudden they just go up out of nowhere. And this is why, it's because of that mentality. And if you don't have that as an organization, and if you're willing to sacrifice your integrity, you're willing to sacrifice your whole team. Do you know the amount of work those boys put in? Like, you're just going to be like, are you crazy?
Nah.
What are you thinking about?
You know? Yeah. You know what? It showed a picture of Zach Ertz, the tight end, who probably was his last game there, right? He's been a phenomenal player for them. And I think he stayed on the sideline for like an hour after the game, just walking around. Think about what he's feeling.
Yep.
And he won a Super Bowl and all that. But his last game, I remember my last game like it was yesterday, OC. Mm-hmm. You know, that deflated ball right there is the last regular season game I ever played and got an interception from the pressure from OC. Thanks a lot, brother. You put the pressure. I got the pick. We made the playoffs. It's all you. That being said, I remember that game vividly. You remember those experiences. The last game I played in certain stadiums with certain teams. And I think you're right. You know, we're talking about a team that wasn't going to the playoffs, but we're talking about the implications that's going to sustain and impact them next year. And it's because you have to think about, if you're a true leader, you think about the team and the organization as a whole, not individuals. And I truly think they were thinking about the individual, which is Carson Wentz and that relationship with him, because they made a huge financial decision with him. So they need to make things right, however they need to make them. If he's, you know, if they have to trade him or whatever has to happen, they want a good relationship with them, because economically that impacts them more than anything. They've invested their future in there. And I think they made a bad decision based on that about how, from a leadership standpoint, on how this team is going to look at their head coach next year.
Yep, I agree. I agree, man. So, yeah, I had to get that off my chest. Had to.
No, yeah, but that's that. But you, what you said is very interesting, right? We all have, we all do whatever industry we're in, whatever we do for work, whatever we do, we're involved with. There's leaders in our life, or we lead. And you said something very important, which was you had made a decision, OC. You thought what was best for you, and it was calculated. It all made sense. It wasn't irrational. It wasn't emotional. It was data-driven. But a true leader, someone you respected because they demanded your respect by the history you've had with them, they changed your mind in how long?
Took literally 45 seconds. 45 seconds. Changed my whole mindset.
But that's years of a true leader making decisions and him showing you his patterns that you were able to say, all right, I'm changing my direction.
Yep.
Powerful. It's powerful, man. I mean, this is why people always look for sports for stories of leadership and how to lead and evolve. And I'm not saying Tom Coughlin hasn't had his shortcomings, but in that scenario, when you guys won those Super Bowls, he truly was the leader of that team, of that organization.
Yeah, he was, man. I got the utmost respect for that man. I really do. I really do. He showed me who he was on a couple of occasions.
Yeah.
He really did. Yeah. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. You still got his number in your phone?
I absolutely do, man. Matter of fact, I'm going to hit him up today. I'm going to see what's going on with Tom. I'm going to see how
he's
doing.
Hit him on TC, man. Tell him that safety corner Jay Bell said thank you, too.
Will do.
He just used to come to me before the game and say, are you ready for double duty today? And I'd be like, yeah. And he'd be like, good, good, good. And he'd walk away. Because I really didn't have any other impact on the game, brother.
I got TC, man. TC was a trip.
He was, hey, man. You know what I hated? That we couldn't wear hats in meetings.
Yeah, because you couldn't sleep.
I couldn't sleep, were sleeping. Man.
Yeah, people would put their hats, they would put the brims down real low and sleep. And he knew that technique. So he was like, nah, no hats, bro.
Hey, I wonder what some people are doing now on these Zoom meeting calls for work and stuff like that. Like what kind of techniques people got. Give us some shout outs on some techniques we need to know about.
All you got to do is turn your camera off
But you got to keep your camera on.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, then I don't know what your technique is. Maybe you could take like a picture.
See?
And just put it there.
On a loop.
And act like you're on a loop, yeah. Meanwhile, you just nodding off. Just dozing off, man.
Look at Simon right there. Is he on the loop right there? Look at Simon.
He's on a loop right now.
Is he showing us what a loop is?
Definitely. He's
it
asleep.
It looks like he's writing a note. But
he's asleep. Oh, he's actually showing us what
is that the technique? I like it, Simon. All right.
Wow, Simon is that is incredible.
Yeah, he showed us something. He showed us something. Oh, see, I want to talk about a couple things that happened end of the season, and I just want you to tell me how significant this is. First, I want to talk about Derrick Henry, 2,000-yard club, running back, and he's led the league, 2 years in a row now in rushing?
Yeah.
Which is difficult to do. Only the greats have done that.
Yeah.
How difficult is that, and how much do you respect that as a defensive guy? A guy, a running back, carrying the ball, getting hit. He started slow, but, I mean, this guy's had another phenomenal year. I think the dude, for me, I picked him as my offensive player of the year, and the guy is unbelievable. What do you think about his year so far? Well,
I think I have to agree with you. I wasn't so sure before. But now that I think about what this man has accomplished this year, I mean, golly, 2,000 rushing yards in a passing league, in a league that has almost gone soft. This guy has not single-handedly, because there's some other really good running backs, but he has brought the importance of the running back position back to life. I mean, having a physical presence like that, a bruiser, a bully, a guy who performs the way this guy is able to perform week in and week out, and for teams to know In order for you to beat this football team, you have to slow this guy down. And he's still able to do that. Shout out to not only him, shout out to that offensive line, shout out to the play callers. And on top of that, Jason, here's another important thing. Here's another important thing that a lot of people don't seem to understand. Usually, when a running back gets paid,
Ooh, tell him the philosophy.
There is a sharp decline in performance right after. Now, they might pick it up maybe like a year or two after, but usually when a running back gets paid that first year, there is a sharp decline in performance. And this guy, not only did he not decline, he ascended. He increased his level of production, which is something that you almost never see in the NFL, not only at the running back position, but at most positions. And so what he has done has been transcendent. What this man has done has been fantastic. It has been incredible. And I cannot sing his praises enough, not only because of the season he had, but because of when he had that season. Directly coming off of getting paid, it's been incredible, Jason.
I love it. I love it. Aaron Rodgers is our MVP, right? Who's number two, OC? Who is your number two?
Number two would have to be Josh Allen. And the only reason why I say that is because when I look at this Buffalo Bills team, if you remove him from that team, where are they? You know, is this a 12-win football team, a 13-win football team, or are they a 7-9 team? And so when you look at that, you're like, to me, he has to be number two. And then you can go to Derrick Henry, Patrick Mahomes, you know, all these guys. But for me, number one would have to be Aaron Rodgers. Number two would have to be Josh Allen. He has had a fantastic season.
Okay, so I agree with you on Josh Allen. I didn't think you were going to go there, but maybe I did because you are a very brilliant person. But that being said, it's twofold, right? He started fast. Then he kind of fell off, but he ended, I mean, unbelievable performance. Him and that Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, who I think should be a head coach next year. Him and Eric Bieniemy are my top two guys that should be coaches next year. Just phenomenal how they've worked together. But I also think, and I want to know your opinion on this, is it hard when you are Patrick Mahomes and you've been the MVP and you've done great things? It's almost expected, right? It's like, yeah, you did it again. Same kind of thing happens to Aaron Donald. It's like you're just supposed to play at a super high level. It's expected. So I think we judge him according to that as far as MVP is concerned. That is Patrick Mahomes. Do you think that is a fair assessment?
I think it's a fair assessment. But at the end of the day, those guys, there were some other guys who performed at an extremely high level. So it's not taking anything away from Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he played very, very well this year. But I think if those other guys didn't perform the way they did, then we would say Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. It's not a matter of, you know, hating or disregarding anything that he did. It's just those other guys were fantastic also. If Aaron Donald doesn't win Defensive Player of the Year, are we going to say, oh, it's because he's performed at such a high level? Or are we going to say TJ Watt had a fantastic season?
Right, which he did.
You know what I mean? Right. So it's so many different things, so many different combinations. It's expected of him to play at that level, but the other guys just might have exceeded his level of play.
Before we get into these games coming up and your thoughts on who's hot and who's not in the playoffs, I got a business proposition for you.
Yep.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
My financier, OC.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. All right, so when I moved out here and I started checking out all the sports in this country, one sport I fell in love with a lot was the darts.
Okay.
And I went to the darts up at Alexander Palace and I was like, yo, this is dope. Like the event, everything, the atmosphere, loved it, right? What if we start a darts league for retired NFL quarterbacks? And they gotta be really out of shape. Like no pliability, Tom Brady, nothing. I need you fresh off the couch. All you got is your arm. Darts League, NFL quarterbacks. What do you think?
I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
It would be amazing.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I think that would be, that actually makes a whole lot of sense, Jason.
How cool really would that does. Be? Yeah. Right? I mean, everything's legal, right?
Yeah. You,
a full plate of nachos, a beer, the whole nine, getting active. Darts.
And they got accuracy, too.
And they got accuracy.
I think if they learned how to do it, I think it'll be incredible to watch.
There's gonna be some dudes that never learn. They just got a gun, and that dart's gonna be flying. Like, it's gonna be, you know.
I like that idea.
I love the guy who counts up the points. He's like, you know, flying, putting it all together. He's a mathematical genius. And I'm just, listen, I was just watching. I was like, man, what would it be like to watch Brett Favre just throw the dart, fling it, power. I don't know what's going to hit what it's going to hit, but I was just thinking like that, all right?
Here's what I'm upset about, right? I'll tell you what upsets me is the fact that what you have here is a brilliant idea, and you've just put it out there for everybody to hear.
And it could be a worldwide traveling thing. They come here, they go everywhere. Everybody likes darts. You know, all I these like quarterbacks are characters, man. They're hilarious.
Yeah, I like it. I do. I think that'd be cool.
All right. I just wanted to run that by you.
A little bit left field. You just threw that out there in the middle of a conversation.
You know,
sneak that in. It's good. Hey, it was really good.
All right. This weekend, I want to talk to you about a couple of games. We got the Saturday games. Colts and Bills, obviously, Rams and Seahawks. And then Sunday, you got Bucks against the football club, Ravens, Titans, Bears, Saints, and Browns, Steelers. What is your game you are focused on? And in who do you think is your team to watch? Who scares you?
I like all these games. I'm not going to sleep this weekend. I'm not, because I have to watch all of these games live. I'm intrigued by every last one of these games, because there's no certain game for me. The only one that I think is maybe okay, if Kamara plays, I think New Orleans could beat down the Bears. I believe that. But other than that, there's no game that I am 100% sure. I'm not even 60% sure about any of these games. Everything to me is 50-50, 55-45. I believe the Colts can beat the Bills. I believe that. Defensively, the Colts are a tough football team. Defensively, they're tough. It's not going to be easy for Buffalo to just, you know, defeat that football team. So they can win that game. Washington football team versus Tampa Bay. If that defensive line from Washington decides they're going to wreak havoc on Tampa Bay, and if Mike Evans isn't playing, that's going to be a tough game for Tampa Bay. That's not going to be easy. You know, Baltimore versus Tennessee. Tennessee upset that team last year. You know, Tennessee beat them this year. So to say Tennessee can't beat Baltimore, I think Baltimore's going to win, but Tennessee can obviously beat that football team because they've done it two out of the last two times they played them. Every single game this weekend is a matchup problem for everybody. So this is what the playoffs are all about. I cannot wait to watch all these games, man. I don't think none of them is going to be a blowout.
I like what you're saying. I'm going to throw some thoughts at you, and you can tell me what you think. Colts, Bills, I totally love that Colts D-line. I think they get tired, and that hurts them. The secondary depends on them to play well. I've been in a situation I depended on you and Strahan. You guys were out, and I saw the difference. But if the Colts can get that running game rolling like they have been and make Phillip Rivers just have to, you know, first read, get rid of the ball, play action pass, they are difficult to beat. Now, we know the Bills are what they are, but yes, I totally agree. I tell you what, the Rams and Seahawks, remember how bad the Seahawks defense was playing?
Yep.
Not anymore. One of the best in the NFL in points per games. They have turned it around and your boy
over the past 4 or 5 weeks, they played outstanding.
They've turned it around. So they're getting hot in the playoffs with Russell Wilson, which you know what he can do, and they can run the ball. Scary. You're right. Bucks, Washington football club. I will say this. Tom Brady, man, he's looking good. he is, I mean, how is he playing like this at this age? I mean, the dude actually can run too. Like he run, he didn't look, when he runs, he doesn't look all like a lost deer anymore. It isn't great, but it's better.
He still looks like he's running with a refrigerator on his back. He still looks like he's carrying a refrigerator on his back when he runs. But boy, oh boy, can he throw that football, J-Bell.
He can
throw that football, boy.
He can throw it, man. And I mean, down after down, but you're right. What is the way to stop him? Have a dominant front four who can get after him without blitzing, try to play coverage lanes, which Washington can do. Ravens, Titans, man. I mean, we're about to see a straight fight. But the Titans, Vrabel always finds a way to play that offense. Like every time he plays, he finds a game plan that slows them down consistently. Yep. That's the X factor in this. But I mean, I don't think anybody wants to play the Ravens right now, the way they're running the game with that three-headed monster. They got the two running backs and Lamar Jackson.
400 rushing yards last game. 400 rushing yards, Jason.
It's crazy. They're peaking in the playoffs. Yeah. Opposite with last year when I feel like the Ravens limped into the playoffs. You know, they were beat up. These dudes are fresh and ready to roll. I'm with you on the Bears and Saints. I mean, the Saints should go out here and manhandle. Mitchie T looked like himself last week. Yeah, he's fighting for his future, but it's not looking good. And the Browns and Steelers, I mean, who knows? Who knows? The Browns get a couple people back in the secondary, Denzel Ward, hopefully, to stop the vertical passing game when Pittsburgh takes shots. And we know these teams don't like each other and they know each other. I don't know what's going to happen. But Pittsburgh's going to have to throw the ball vertically down the field to open up everything else. If not, that running game of the Browns is going to be hard to deal with on a consistent basis. So, I mean, it's all up in the air. I'm excited for the weekend, and I'll be texting you, and you will not be responding. Is that about
right? No, I'll definitely respond, man. I got you. Yeah, I got you. I can't wait. Can't wait, man. Excellent.
It's that trouble, man. Yeah. On the stereo, uprise. You already know, yeah.
All right, brother, good one, man. Uprise all day, all night. It's playoff time. That means we talk. We really dive into these games, man. That's what we do in the playoffs. We got playoff OC. The man knows. He knows about culture. He knows about winning. He knows about things. How do you say things?
Things. Things. Yeah. Things. Things in that. Things in that.
Uprise all day, holla at you.
I'm a true believer, boy, you're nothing, just a pagan.
They can't take my freedom, they can't slow my progress. I'm no preacher or prophet, but no man can cause who God bless. Man try close my chapter, man just cause I'm dapper. Go so then go faster, catch me if you can find. Young and some and smarter, foolish idiot blood clot. Now I learn my lesson, all done no more stress. Always on my grind. Me, I no get time. There's a bill on my mind. Do every day another dime.
Fear for you, I won't stress and suffer. Fear for you, my bros think that I would talk. Fear for you, only God can make that prosper. You're a mannequin without no faith. Baby, you're a pagan. Say no, lots of haters. I'm a true believer, boy, you're nothing, just a pagan.